You know, the book of Hebrews says that Jesus is the express image of God. So when we talk about speaking the name of Jesus over something, we're pulling God into their life, basically. And so God can do anything. God is bigger than any problem that you will ever face in your life. But you've got to believe. You've got to do your part. So today we're in the book of Romans. I hope my voice is not too grating for you. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 14. I titled this, How is Your Thought Life? It's the key to successful Christian living. How is your thought life? Okay, for those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Let's read that verse one more time. So then those that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, that's that resurrection power that Roy was talking about, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you, Lord, because your word is truth. Lord, it doesn't matter what we think. It doesn't matter what the philosophy of the land is. Your word is truth. So, Lord, if we see differently than your word, I pray that you would change our thoughts today. I pray that my thoughts would be your thoughts and my thoughts would be word-oriented. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are in this house. I thank you, Lord, that every person here, Lord, has come to be touched by the Spirit of God. Lord, we are leaning in right now to your blessing, to your Spirit. Lord, every one of us need a touch of God. Lord, it's a difficult thing, it seems, to be these days a Christian, to live for you. God, it seems like culture is turning and has changed awfully quickly. And Lord, now, Lord, we are fighting against the culture of this society as a child of God. So today, I pray, Lord, that you would strengthen our resolve. God, help us, Lord, to live godly in all things. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you're my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I keep going back to chapter 7 because it's sort of the foundation to chapter 8. And so chapter 7, Paul describes the struggle that we all have. He said, the things that I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. Every one of us sort of live there, right? We deal with that. We know that there are basically two natures inside of us. There's the spiritual side and there's the fleshly side. And so there's a battle almost every day that we fight to live for God. And that battle is fought between your ears right here. So if you're as old as I am, you'll remember a sitcom called All in the Family. You guys remember that? Archie.
Edith.
Right. Archie and Edith, and they had a son-in-law, and he had a bit of a nickname for him. You remember what that was?
Meathead.
Hey, Meathead, get your act together, right? He was always calling him Meathead. Well, the word carnal means meat. And so I could have titled this, I was trying to be nice, but I could have titled, Don't Be a Meathead. Because really, that's what God is saying in this chapter. Don't be a meathead. Think thoughts of God. And he talks about in and after. In and after. Now, in the old King James, you'll see that more clear. In the new King James, he changes that. If you are in the Spirit, you need to, or if you are in Christ, you walk after the Spirit. Did you get that? You really need to get this. If you are in Christ, you walk after the Spirit. If you are in the flesh, you have no choice. You're going to walk after the flesh, right? So there basically is the struggle. The first part of chapter 8, Paul says, God did not come to condemn you. God did not call to punish you, did not come to punish you. He did not come to give you a death sentence. We already had that in our own nature. We had a death sentence. So Jesus came to earth to change you, to bring a new nature, a spiritual nature to you. I heard this statement this week, and man, I loved it. And I want, you're going to hear me say it a lot of times because it's just so true. We live, you and I as Christians, we live between the tension of God's sovereignty and our, what is that word? Our responsibility. We live in the tension of God's sovereignty. See, a lot of the church world say, well, God is sovereign. It's just going to happen. If that's God's will, it's just going to happen. And they leave off our responsibility. We live in the tension between God's sovereignty and our responsibility. You got to get this statement. Because this chapter is about this. It's about, is God sovereign? But what is my responsibility? You're responsible. Have you ever met a Christian that lived a total defeated life? Many of them, right? Do you believe that's what God wants? Do you believe that God just has called some Christians just to live defeated, but he promises the rest of us a life of fulfillment, a life of triumph? No. God doesn't want that for any one of us. He calls us triumphant. He calls us more than conquerors. God wants us to live a very successful Christian life. Well, if God wants it, why are we struggling? Our responsibility. We're not taking captive our thoughts. I wrote this sentence down. You've heard it before. If you want to fly with the eagles, you got to quit walking with the turkeys. Right? So it really matters what you think. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 33 through 35, he says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Would you just put your name there? Every time you see tree, would you put your name there? Either make Eric good and the fruit good, or else make Eric bad, thank you for reading with me, and its fruit bad. For Eric is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you be an evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. But an evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth evil things. Lawrence Peter said this, going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to the garage will make you a car. Lots of people that are in church that are not living for God. They have this ideology that if I hang around with Christians, I'll be okay. If I'm in church, I'm sure I'm going to make heaven. I'm not so sure of that. And I don't think God promises that. I think that we have to do our parts. So today, a whole lot of this lesson is your responsibility. Is God sovereign? Chapter 9 says yes. Are we responsible? Chapter 10 says yes. So when we cover chapter 9 and 10, you can't miss those weeks. You got to be at both because you got to hear that entire lesson. You can't just pop in or you're going to think something wrong. Paul's contrasting to our natures, our mindsets. So we are in Christ, but we still must walk after the Spirit. The carnal mind, the Bible says, is death. In other words, it's going to lead you to dead things. It's going to bring death into your body. Death. I'm not playing with you. This is not something to fill up 30 minutes of your time. I'm telling you, if you don't take care of this, this will ruin your life. We must take care of what's going on in our brain, in our mind. If not, boy, I hate to say it this way, but I can't think of any other way to say it. God can't help you. God is sovereign, yeah, but if you don't do your part, you're going to live defeated. So this is not just another nice little sermon, and I'm not trying to be mean at all, but I'm saying this is really, really important stuff. You can read it and think, oh, it's not a big deal. No, it's a tremendous deal. Matter of fact, I don't know that I've ever preached anything more important than this. Probably one of the most important topics that we ever talk about is how are you in the garden of your mind? Are you tilling it? Are you taking care of the garden of your mind? See, the Bible says a carnal mind is hostile towards God. It's enmity is what the King James says. It's rebellious and will never obey God. The carnal mind wants to do what you want to do. It's that old flesh that says, I'm not going to obey. You know, I'm just not going to, I don't care if they tell me to drive 55 miles an hour, I'm not doing it. Well, don't do it. See what happens. here's the part that gets me. A carnal mind cannot please God. Did you get it in Scripture? I believe it was verse 8. A carnal mind cannot. There is no way. Christian, are you listening to me? Because we have termed this thing carnal Christian, which I told you last week, that's an oxymoron. I don't believe that there is such a term as a carnal Christian. You're either carnal or you're either in Christ. I don't believe you can have it both ways. A carnal person cannot please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, is what Hebrews 11:6 says. A carnal mind doesn't have faith. A spiritual mind has faith. So we please God when we move in faith. We don't even pray unless I believe that there's a God that's listening, right? You're going to come alive one of these moments. I know you are. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, verse 27, he says, don't give place to the devil. What does that mean? Well, I don't have a bedroom with over the door in my house that this is the devil's room. If you come over, I'll let you stay. Would you like to sleep in the devil's room? Right, we don't have that, right? I'm not giving a place for the devil. But in our minds, you could say mind or heart, whatever, it's sort of interchangeable. Sometimes we have these rooms in our heart that have not surrendered to Christ. And basically what you have done, you have given room to the devil. You have allowed him access in your mind. And he, you know the old saying, if you give him an inch, he'll take a mile. That's the devil. If you give the devil any kind of space in your brain, in your heart, he will take over. So therefore, we got to learn to control this thing. Because every one of us are dealing with this struggle, right? You're not bad if you're dealing with a struggle. We're all dealing with a struggle. But we've been called to be conquerors. So how do we conquer? By taking authority over this. You know, I just can't think anything I want to think. If I do, I won't be successful in Christ. I can't just look at anything I want to look at. David said, I'll put nothing ungodly before my eyes. What was he doing? He was setting boundaries in his life. That says, I'm not going to do that. Robbie Mitchell preached a sermon here some months ago or years ago now. And he put a sock on this shoulder and a sock on that shoulder. And he said, this is the two spirits that I'm dealing with. This one's evil and this one's God. It sounds like the old cartoon, right? But how do you know which one's winning? It's which one you're feeding the most. See, if I feed that old nature by thinking bad thoughts, you know, I can convince myself that everybody hates me. I'm preaching better than you're shouting. Our minds are amazing tools. I can talk myself into defeat. Everything I do. Why even try? It always ends up this way. You know people like that. No matter what I do, it always fails. Well, you just keep telling yourself that, baby. Find out what happens. Or else, we can change those thoughts, we can change those words, and start saying, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That person will be successful. I used to work with a guy back when I was 16 or 17. He drove me crazy. I mean, he was just, we went to high school together and then we'd go to work together. And he would say all the time, are you mad at me? Are you mad at me? I just wanted to slap him sometimes. Say, no, I'm not mad at you. And it, you know, at 16, 17 years old, I didn't know what was going on. I'd say, why do you think I'm mad at you? I'm not mad at you. Leave me alone. I love you, man. Leave me alone. Then as an adult, I realized the record player in his mind was playing a sour tune. Does that make sense to you? You know, we all have that recording, don't we? Come on, talk to me. We all have a recording in our head. You know, I've told you before, social scientists say we have between 50 and 60,000 thoughts every day. And we think them over and over and over. It's repetitive thoughts. 90% of the things that we think are repetitive. It's just like it's like a record player playing over and over and over. And if you want to be successful as a Christian, you got to make sure you put the right record on. The spiritual minded person is full of life and peace. He pleases God because he's chasing after God. Now, I want you to, in this portion of Scripture, he says, but you are not in the flesh, amen, but we're in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Now, Pentecostal people, please listen to me. This is not talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. This is talking about salvation. You see, when you get saved, the Spirit of God comes and lives in you. And that's what he's saying. If the Spirit of God is not in you, you're not saved. So, does this make sense? I really need to see a nod of head or something. Okay. He says in 2 Corinthians 4:7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God. Verse 12 says this in this portion. He says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors. I like the NLT. He says, we have an obligation, not to our flesh, but to live according to the, flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, after the flesh, you will die. But we have an obligation by the Spirit to put to death the deeds of the body. We, again, I believe it's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. He says that you must keep in step with the Holy Spirit. You must walk with the Spirit. So I've come and to give you this introduction to tell you this. You, me, we have a choice. Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. See, I can almost tell what you're thinking. You know, years ago when people kept checkbooks, and we used checks a whole lot. I mean, now you write two a month probably. But there was a time when you might write 25, 30 checks a month. You could pick somebody's checkbook up and you could tell what their priorities was by where they were spending their money. You see, if I could get into your head and see what you're thinking, I could tell what your priorities are. What's dominating your thoughts? Do you know your life's going to follow your most dominating thought? So if you're thinking that I'm a failure, you're prophesying over yourself. But if you think I can do all things through Christ, you're going to do all things through Christ. If you think there's no mountain, no valley, no problem that I'll ever face that Jesus is not able to help me go through. If you think that, you're going to overcome. If you think, well, I don't know, you know, he don't answer all my prayers. I'm just not even sure if he hears me. You're in trouble. Say, well, what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying you better get into the book. You better renew your mind through the Word of God. It's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. He says, the words that I speak to you are spirit and their life. Jesus' word equals his spirit. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The word is Jesus. Jesus is his spirit. They operate in that kind of unity. You know, this is not a new concept because the psalmist told us in Psalms 119:11, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. So who are we feeding today? Romans chapter 13, verse 14, it says, put on the Lord Jesus and don't make provision for your flesh to fulfill its lust. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, he says, finally, brethren, now I think I typed this, but I left a few words out. You can see the dots. It's the where you see the dots, it's whatever things, okay? Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely and are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's any praise, meditate on these things. Think on these things. Do you know what the word meditate means? Chew the cud. Chew the cud, just like the cow. The cow takes a little bit of grass, he chews it up, he swallows it, goes from one stomach, comes back up in his mouth, he chews it again. The Lord is telling us, you need to meditate on my word. You need to chew on my word. Sometimes the Lord may direct you to read chapters and chapters every day, and then other times you may go through a season of your life where the Lord just says, read this verse. I want you to study it, I want you to chew on this all day long. Why? Because he's wanting to change the way you think on this certain area. Whether you'll be successful or not is how much word you're going to get in your heart. Treva's enjoying this sermon. I'm not for sure the rest of you. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, the last half of that verse says this, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Do you have any rogue thoughts? Do you know what rogue cells are called in our body? Called cancer. If you have rogue cells, cells that just begin to multiply, we call it a cancer. If you have rogue thoughts in your mind, you have a cancer that's growing in your mind. See, that cancer, that thought, you know, Judy Garland, when she was a little girl, used to wear pigtails, and somebody spoke this over her and said, look at there, there's a piggy in pigtails. See, sometimes people say ugly things to us, even as a child. Well, that got deep into her. Like the lady who, the carpenter lady, Karen Carpenter, died of anorexia because somebody had told her she was fat. And see, does this make sense to you? So people sometimes sow these things, maybe not even really meaning to, but they'll plant a seed in your heart that goes deep down that says you're stupid or you're worthless. And Satan will take that thought and he will direct your life with that thought. That's a rogue thought. It's not of God. So what I'm talking about today is we've got to take captive those thoughts. And we have, you know, do you know you cannot just quit thinking about something? Ask me at 2 a.m, right? And I can't turn my mind off. But you know what you can do? You can replace that thought. You may not be able to quit thinking about this, but you can change the record. So, in other words, I don't care if somebody called me stupid. I don't care what their byword was for me. I can change that according to the Word of God and say, I'm successful in Christ. I can do all things through Christ. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Every weapon formed against me will not prosper. Right? God is, there's so many great verses in the Word of God that will change the record in your mind. But you've got to take captive. You've got to begin to identify those thoughts that are bringing you down. And let's get rid of them. Colossians chapter 3. I'm almost done, so stay with me. Colossians chapter 3, he says, if then you are raised with Christ, salvation, we've been raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. Aren't you amazed at how many Christians keep seeking gutter? You've heard that, right? Get your mind out of the gutter. I mean, you heard that? What are they talking about? Exactly what I'm talking about today. If you've been saved, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. He said, seek those things. And then the next thing he says, set your mind. Set it. It's like setting the oven. Set your oven to come on at 12 o'clock so that roast will be done at supper time. Set your mind. Determine in yourself the sovereignty of God, the responsibility of man. We live right here in the middle. Are you getting this? Set your mind on things above, not on things of this earth. For you died. When did you die? I didn't know you were dead. You died at salvation. When you gave your life to Christ, you died. You said, Jesus, live in me. I don't want to please Eric anymore. I want to please you. That's not taught a whole lot in the church anymore. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, listen to these words, when Christ, who is our life, come on. Is there anybody in this room that would say, that's me? That's the anthem of my heart. If I was talking to anybody, that's what I'd say. When Christ, who is my life? You see, Christ will not be second place to anything. We don't preach this much anymore, but it needs to be preached. Christ is not going to take a back seat to anything in your life. He said, moms and dads and wives and everything may leave you, but I will not leave you. I gotta be first. I must be first place and final authority in your life. I've always loved that line. When Christ, who is my life, appears, then you'll also appear with him in glory. Therefore, he says, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. You know, in America, covetousness is okay. You know that, right? We teach our children to be covetous. We call it the American dream. Well, I got news for you. Covetous is not okay. The Bible says coveting is the sin of idolatry. So we need to stop it. I know that many times you may feel like you're powerless to live for God. I know a lot of people I've talked to said, I just can't seem to do this. Well, that's true. You can't. There's not a person in here that can live for God on your own. But you're not on your own. The Spirit of the Lord is within you. Right? Verse 11 says, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. John chapter 14, verse 17 says, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I wanted to talk about one more thing that's really not in this passage of Scripture, but it's in many other passages. So this passage is, if you want to live for God, you got to take captive this. But there's something that comes along right beside it. You got to change your words. You see, when the Bible talks about confessing, he's not talking about crying out all your sins, listing all the things that you've done wrong. Actually, the word confess is the word in the Greek, homologio. Homo meaning same, logo meaning word. See, we must begin to speak the same word that God speaks. When you think right and when you speak right, your life, Satan won't have a hold on you. I promise you, if you get these two things together, you will be an unstoppable force for the kingdom of heaven. If you think right and you speak right, now, this is not the power of positive thinking. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about thinking the thoughts of God, which are positive, right? And then changing. You see, I know that sometimes our self-talk is very defeating. We've got to change that. Quit calling yourself a failure, because that's not who God calls you. So once you take these thoughts captive, no, I'm not going to think about that. I'm not going to look at that. I'm not going to fulfill this lust. I'm going to quit feeding that animal. I'm going to start feeding the Spirit of God. How do I feed the Spirit of God? Through the Word of God. And he'll get fat. It's okay to let the Spirit of God get fat in your life. This other thing, you want to starve him to death. Let him get fat. Let him starve. Right? Do you realize how we could change our world? I'm telling you, folks, I've just shared with you two simple truths from the Word of God. And if we will do those two things, we would take Paris, Tennessee for Jesus. See what? I've gone to have the opportunity to go into the jail starting real soon, and teach them the thing that we're teaching on Wednesday night, the discipleship journey. See, if I can get in there and I can teach them, you're not who mom and dad says you are. You're not who you say you are. You're who he says you are. If I can get this in their mind. Do you know, I think it's something like 80% of the people in prison are reoccurring. They get out and they go back in. Get out and go back in. About 90% of them are drug and alcohol people. But if we can get a hold of this, the greatest transformation in the world. I love Alcoholics Anonymous. I really do. I think it's a great program. But I think they get one thing wrong. Quit calling yourself an alcoholic. For the rest of their life, they call themselves an alcoholic. Buddy, let me tell you something. When you accept Jesus, you're a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. All things become new. I'm not going to let a sin of the past dictate my future. In Hebrews chapter 10, I call this the lettuce portion of scripture. It's in verse 22, and I just pulled out a few statements. He says, let us draw near with a true heart. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love. And then let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. You know, here's a thought that we must begin to teach the body of Christ. The most important hour of your week is right now. See, the body of Christ don't believe that. I don't think you believe it either. The most important hour of your week is right here, right now. See, if we really believe that, I counted this week because I had to do a report for our organization. We have 227 people that calls us their church home. We couldn't seat everybody because we have 200 chairs in here. But every week, we ought to have 227 people in here plus visitors. If they only understood this is the most important hour of their week. Why? Because the Spirit of God wants to change your hearts through the anointed Word of God. Right? We got to elevate this thing. Or else we're going to... Do you realize the church is defeated? Is this news to you guys? I'm sorry, but the church is living in defeat. But that's not who God calls us to be. God calls the church to be the leader of this world. But we got to change our hearts. We got to change our minds. We got to begin to speak right so that we can begin to lead us, so that then we can lead others. I gave you this one time years ago, a couple of years ago, and I wanted to give it to you again. It says, watch your thoughts, for they become words. Watch your words, for they become actions. Watch your actions, for they become habits. Watch your habits, because they become character. Watch your character, because it becomes your destiny. And it all starts with thoughts. Are you getting this? How many would love to see their life take a remarkable change? I just gave you the key. Change your thoughts. You're not in the flesh. You are in Christ. So you must walk after the Spirit. Right? Too much gutter thinking. Too much defeated thinking in the church. Let's surrender it. Would you stand with me? I know I probably have been hard to listen to. And I'm not going to greet you at the door. Because Treva gave this gift to me. And I don't want to give it to you, so I'm not going to greet you and shake your hand. It's not COVID. It's just junk. So you know, I don't know how to end this, because no matter what I say, about half of you are going to say, yeah, that's me. Well, I got news for you. I'm not preaching to half of you today. I'm preaching to every person in this chairs in here. See, every one of us can do better. Every one of us can be more sick. Maybe you're doing pretty good. Okay, praise the Lord. God bless you. I'm glad you can preach next time. But every one of us, this is where we live. Between the tension of God's sovereignty and our responsibility. See, a lot of the church says, well, if God wants me to be successful, he'll just make me be successful. That's not true. No, no. You're forgetting your part. You have taken this thing captive. You remember the story of Daniel? When Daniel and many, many other children went to Babylon, they were taken captive. They took the brightest students, and they took them into a foreign land. They said, okay, give them 3 years and we're going to change the way they think. We're going to make them look like an Egyptian or Babylonian. We're going to make them think. We're going to educate them. They're going to change their mind. They're going to brainwash them. And it all started with the diet. And Daniel said, we don't want to eat what's been sacrificed to idols. Daniel chapter 1 verse 8 said this, that Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself. Are you getting this? See, if every person in this room would purpose in your heart that I will not defile myself with ungodly thoughts. It's not so much what you eat today. It's what you're eating up here. It's what you're allowing to come before your eyes. I will purpose in my heart not to defile myself. I'm telling you, we'll change our world. We'll change our world if we'll do this. So the only thing I know to do, because every one of us need it, is pray for all of you. I'm going to extend my hand. Would you extend your hand towards me? Jesus, I so thank you for these people. God, I love these people. I really do. I want to see them do well. I want to see them prosper in everything. And I know that my love for them is minute compared to your love for them. God, I pray, Lord, that every person under the sound of my terrible voice this morning would purpose in their heart not to defile themselves. They would purpose in their heart to take their thoughts captive. They would purpose in their heart to starve the old man and feed the Spirit of God. God, how great and mighty we could become if we will just do these things that we've talked about. God, help us not to be carnal in any way. Help us to take captive our thoughts and place them upon Christ. God, I pray that this next week, as we endeavor to do this, will be the most successful week we've ever lived for you. I pray, God, that we would change our minds and change our hearts and change our world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Brother Denny, would you come and close us up? Again, I'm not going to greet you at the door, but this is me shaking your hand, okay? Great to have you.